When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Shannon Field. Thank you, Shannon.
Thanks, Shannon.
It is your lucky day to be a sponsor of this episode. So today we are joined by a very special guest acting as Frank Longbottom in the Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix movie. Please give a warm welcome to James Payton.
Thank you.
Yes, you. Right there, you.
Sometimes I forget who I am. That's okay. I'm very method.
We'll remind you. Yeah.
We are truly honored to have you on the pod today and talk about your wonderful experiences. So it really, genuinely, thank you so much for being with us today.
No, not at all. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm trying to do this internet thing.
So are we.
No, it's very kind of you to have me on and talk about whatever it is that we're going to talk about, which we'll find out.
Absolutely. All kinds of fun stuff.
Surprise away.
Shannon is the lady who's sponsoring this episode. Mm-hmm. Hello, Shannon. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Epic. That's
Shannon
so nice.
Instantly melts when she hears that.
Before we start any of the questions that we have prepped, and don't feel any kind of pressure if you don't know these things, but I was wondering.
I'm nervous.
Sorry to prompt that and the scariest.
No.
But do you know your Hogwarts house? Have you been sorted on Pottermore?
I have. Yeah, I do. I do know. Yeah.
What is that house?
acting. It's Gryffindor.
Really?
Yeah, which is fortunate. It says Frank.
That is fortunate.
Welcome to my house. Yeah. Welcome to my house. We're house buddies right here. I knew we liked each other for a reason. Do you happen to know what your wand is? Did you get your wand after you were sorted?
I must have done, but Neville broke mine, so.
That is true. Oh, fair. Very fair.
I do. I blown if I know. I can't remember.
That's totally fine. I'm pretty sure Sarah doesn't remember what hers is either.
That's a fact. I was like, I couldn't tell you what mine is. It's got some type of wood. I think the inside is maybe dragon heart strength.
Type of wood. That is a great answer. That's great.
I'll tell you what really got me was the inside instead of saying the core.
The inside is full of hope and love.
Ah, there you go. Okay. All right, it's totally fine that you don't know that, like I said. Do you happen to know your Patronus? Did you do that
one as well? This I know.
Okay.
because there was me thinking, here I am, tapping away on the old thing. And I thought to myself, okay, great, I'm in Gryffindor. Let's have a look at the old Patronus, thinking it was going to be a spaceship or a tank or a tiger or something epic like that. It wasn't. It wasn't any of those things. None of those things it was. It's quite difficult to talk about it because I still get a little bit.
Well, you and Sarah, again, are very similar.
I understand.
I get a little bit emotional about it because, you know, I was sort of hoping it would be something amazing like that. And it wasn't any of those things. It was a... it was a rat.
I have your cousin. I'm a vole, which is a rodent.
I mean, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
I mean, I understand.
Work. So cheers, yeah. Joe. Thanks for that.
Thanks,
yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I just, you know, the Patronus quiz just doesn't do a good job, if you ask me. It doesn't.
Did you get like six horses?
I took it so many times because I was convinced I was not. It gave me like a black stallion, and I'm like, I don't like horses. Why is it giving me a horse? That makes no sense. So I made more emails, and I went and took the quiz more times, and I just got different variations of horses. I got a white stallion, a chestnut mare, another black stallion, and I'm like, you know what? I give up. I guess it knows something.
You just have to let it go sometimes, Megan. You just have to accept it. I've got a rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a bull.
You've got a vole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all crazy.
Katie got a dolphin, and she doesn't even know how to swim.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but...
what if you're in the desert? That's not much use in Nevada, is it?
Right.
I agree.
Exactly.
It's going to get a bit hot. You have to squirt it.
That's what Agamenti's for, right?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. Good spot. If you're Aquaman, it's fine.
As long as
you need your Patronus on or near water, it's all good. I mean, if you're elsewhere, then good luck.
Just so that you know, our listeners are saying that they love rats and that they're super smart. So
they might be smart, but they're not going to be an elephant.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
When it comes to a rumble. I'm sort of the rat. Yeah, there's going to be squishing. Where does that leave me? I know rats have to be. If you own rats, you can't have one. You have to have two, because they get lonely. So legally, you have to have two. this I know, and they're intelligent creatures. But you know, lots of things are intelligent. You sort of want something with a bit of muscle behind it. Really.
Yeah.
You know, something would give you a strong southpaw hook.
Fair enough.
I don't remember what my first one was. It was some kind of bird. Osprey. Sparrow. An osprey.
How have you all had more than one?
Well, listen, because I made another email because I didn't think that I was a bird. The second time I got a fox, which I relate to a little bit more because I like dogs and, you know, they're in the canine realm, so you know.
Sure.
You cheated is essentially what we're saying.
I've come to terms with my rat. And I think you guys should come to terms with, you know, your horse fetish.
Yeah.
I agree. I took it again and got a bird, but I'm like, I still feel like my vol is, unfortunately, that's it.
It's the first one. Yeah, I just gotta go with it.
I'm sure there's things about voles and rats and things that we don't know about, but when they're in Patronus form, that they, you know, they suddenly expand and yeah. I'm sure that happens.
A giant vole.
Yeah.
See, now that's terrifying.
Yeah, that is scary. And rats can get pretty big too. I've heard New York rats are massive.
They are so gigantic, and the rats in Washington, D.C. are terrifying because they will run around in the broad daylight, and they're like the size of cats. It's disgusting. I'm sorry.
Thanks for sharing.
Don't go there.
I saw many years ago. I live in London, but many years ago here in London, mm-hmm. where I live here, I saw a massive rat, huge, it was enormous, and I took my shoe off and threw my shoe at the rat. And it tried it on. Sorry, that's a very old joke. That's an incredibly old joke.
Hey, we all fell for it.
the funny thing is like we make those kinds of jokes. And by we, I mean Sarah and Katie usually make correct. Those kinds of jokes on the pod. So you are in good company with those yeah. kinds of jokes. And keep yeah. them coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's going well.
All right, shall we dive on into this?
Absolutely. Yeah,
sure thing.
Okay, so I'm just going to hit the ground running right out with this first question. How was your experience on the set of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix?
Oh, crumbs. Well, obviously, it's a very brief moment.
Yeah.
And as bad an actor as I am, it didn't take months to shoot. We actually shot the entire thing in the one day. But the process leading up to it, I got a call from David Gase's office saying David wants to see you for this Harry Potter thing. Mm-hmm. I said, that's great. Thanks very much. But I'm busy. Sorry, no. And they said, oh, right. Okay. What? So they called back the following day and said, no, I don't think you're quite grasping this. So David wants to see you. For Frank Longbottom. So I was working on a movie called Atonement at the time, and we were doing night shoots in the northeast of the country. Mm-hmm. So I'd spoken to production, and they said, look, it's fine, go and do your thing. So we did a night shoot, then I travelled down to Leavesden Studios, which is a few hours by train, I think, at the time, and I went and met David and Lisa Wood, who plays Alice,
mm-hmm.
and had a chat, had a look at the sort of costume options that they wanted to try, and haircuts and all that sort of thing, sort of had a screen test for it that David was very happy with. Great. So off I trot. Thanks very much. I get the job. As I said, it's a day's work.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I enjoyed the process of what we were attempting to create in terms of how it helps Neville's story.
Right.
Then I traveled back up to meet the Atonement unit. Who were doing night shoots in a place called Grimsby. And did another night shoot, so I was up for I think 3 days.
Oh my god.
It's about 2 hours you start seeing stuff,
right? Yeah.
But it was lovely. Everybody, you know, I've been in the acting game since the 97, something like that.
Oh wow.
So it was, you know, it's a familiar place, you know, sense of a familiar place for me to be on. And it was fine, and everyone was very friendly, and David was very nice, mm-hmm. and enthusiastic and wonderful in terms of what he wants, of how he explains to actors what he wants you to, the emotion he wants you to get across,
mm-hmm.
what plays for him and what doesn't play for him. Mm-hmm. Because when we came to shoot the scene, the moving photograph, then he was very much about getting across that not only the love that a parent has for a child, but also the love that Neville has for his parents, and of course the tragedy in losing so young,
right.
which is something I can relate. My father died when I was very young, so it's something I can relate to in that regard. And of course, the love that Alice and Frank have for each other.
Right.
That I thought is very important, hence that sort of the look of love, if you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Each other. And of course, then Frank's look back to Alice while she's looking out, which I think is the sort of the moment that sticks with people.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure.
And then that's something that me and David had spoken about as I suppose sort of a way, so, you know, we are magic and paint and photographic paper and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that moment of nothing else is there but her.
Mm-hmm.
Frank. Mm-hmm. I think that's the moment that sort of that we tried to get across. And I assume it sort of worked. Here we are 13 years later.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, even though it was a short moment of the movie, is like that specific scene, like I can still recall it. I can still recall seeing it on screen. Like yeah. I immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it was a moment that all the Potterheads were waiting for. Like we were unfortunate. We didn't get exactly what was in the book. Not that you'll get exactly with the movie, but we wanted that story and we longed for Frank and Alice's story. But I feel like with the brief moment that you had, I feel like you portrayed their love very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh,
thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
it's very kind. Actor, you know. I mean, obviously, I think we'd have liked a little bit more.
Right.
But there's an old saying, no small parts, only small actors. So, but yeah, it would have been nice to do some of the more other famous moments.
Was there ever plans at all to do anything in St. Mungo's or no?
I believe there were. I think that was taken out before it got to the shoot. I think that was something that was lost. I suppose not to take away from Harry's story.
Yeah. Right, and probably everything that went down at the ministry, probably.
Yeah.
There
maybe
is... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe one day.
I would love it.
Yeah.
There's actually a picture I saw on the internet, I think it was yesterday, and I just finished listening to Deathly Hallows on Audible, and... So I finished with the Battle of Hogwarts and all of that. And Neville obviously has a very large role at the end of the battle in killing Nagini. And somebody put a picture online and it has Neville in what he was wearing in his sweater. And it has you portrayed in 5. And you're both wearing very similar outfits. Have you seen that one?
I have seen that. Yeah, that's I think... Yeah, it was somebody did that, and I thought, the costume department, the whole. What's fascinating is because the film span
mm-hmm.
from what 2001 till 2011,
yeah.
this sort of solid 10-year period, and they've got all the strings sort of attached.
Yes,
everything is related to everything.
Yeah,
they think of it all.
That's the deal. Yeah.
That's their job. I mean, it's awesome. But it's awesome. It's awesome whenever the viewer, because the viewers don't always catch on to those kinds of things, even though they put so much thought into them. So it's really cool when you see that connection happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
catch it. It's
having layers and depth.
Yes. It was so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
It was like father and son fighting, like same similar outfits. I just loved it. I thought that was a very appropriate, and it was like a shout out to Frank and the Longbottoms. Like, you aren't forgotten, you're still here, you're not death, but you know, you're fate worse than death for some.
It's a lovely throwback, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very sweet, very sweet.
Is it my
okay
turn?
Yeah. It is your turn, Katie.
All right. So if you could pick...
No, there's no pressure, Casey. There's no pressure here.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You could
It'll
pick
be fun.
anything you want, what is your favorite part of the Potter series? That's a loaded question.
You can even just say Frank.
Yeah, I mean,
me.
Obviously, my ego says me, but I'm in my 40s now. I try not to listen to my ego quite so much anymore. How do you tell? How do you boil it all down to one moment?
Yeah.
I think anything with Alan Rickman in it is.
Yeah.
Holds more poignancy now.
Yeah.
Since he died.
Yes.
Anything with Richard Harris or Michael Gambon as Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I grew up watching these actors.
Right.
You know, which is, and to be suddenly be part of something that they're part of is sort of a privilege.
Yes.
Because you think, okay, I'm just some no-name actor who grew up in the West Country of England, who thought that actually I'd rather like to be an actor, and here we are 20 odd years later, and I've done some movies, but oddly enough it all sort of stems from the death of my father. So you might want to get tissues out for this bit.
I got them. Gosh, I do have some right by me.
She cries all the time.
And I'm a crier.
I'm expecting real tears, Sam. So when my father died in 1988 on the 2nd of April of cancer, he didn't drink, didn't smoke, he was just unlucky. It's just how it goes sometimes. But I was 12. And I remember it happened in the morning, my mother came down and said, sorry, I have to tell you, your father's passed away, which is I realize it's one of those things people say to sort of try and soften the blow of such things, but the reality is that they die, they are no longer there. Okay. They haven't passed to the next room, their cold, lifeless body is there. So, you know, I went and said goodbye to my father, which I'm glad that I did, because it sort of gives you a closure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, skipping forward slightly, that afternoon I was watching a film sort of absentmindedly on television called Francis, which starred an actor called Donald O'Connor, who, and the movie is about a talking mule, a talking donkey called Francis. And I was sort of watching it and I found myself laughing and I caught myself and I remember this quite clearly that, How am I laughing right now? When the worst thing that I could imagine has just happened to me.
Right.
How am I laughing? I want to do that. Because if that can take me out of my grief for however long, that's sort of a valuable thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to help, just to, you know, help someone go through that process. And I thought I want to do that. You know, because if it can help me, maybe I can do something that might help somebody else.
Yeah.
What a beautiful story. You act for the people. You act for others. I've never
seen anything that helped anybody else. So, but, you know, there's always time.
Hey, you're giving us some kind of joy right now.
Yeah.
So
but, I think it's, you know, obviously that sort of thing, I think, shapes you as you get older.
Right.
But for me, it's... you know, you just want to sort of make people happy, make people laugh.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. There's worse aims in the world, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sure.
What was the question? Sorry.
No, that was excellent.
Yeah, no, that's great.
that's really personal, you know, to share, and it's a powerful story.
Yeah,
really.
No, no, so I think it's important to talk about. For me, I think it's important to talk about all that sort of stuff. And
yeah,
agreed. I agree.
It's, absolutely. You know, vital, because talking about it makes it easier, because you realize that, my God, everyone's got a story.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
And it makes people feel not alone, you know, when you hear something and it could stir up, oh, I understand. Like, you know, you might not go through the exact same situation, but you get it. You understand it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's
sort of
important.
That malarkey.
Mm-hmm. Especially talking about your father and cancer and cancer touches literally everyone's lives, whether it's you personally or someone you know, or, you know, one of your friends, and it's just such a horrific thing, but
yeah. It's a bit rubbish, isn't it, really?
It's the worst. My husband, though, he is in the cancer research field, so he's working hard to, you know, find cures, so hopefully someday. I mean,
it's a fascinating subject, because there were over 200 types of cancer, all of which require different treatments, all of which specific to the person who has it.
Yep.
I mean, it's fascinating in that regard, but, you know, it may not feel like it all the time, but this is the best time in the history of humanity to be alive.
Absolutely.
You know, here we are talking across the airwaves, across the oceans.
Right.
Yes, and the, you know, the advances in medical science and well, all the sciences, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the move away from a time where we didn't understand how things work to now, and no doubt in the next 100 years, or you know, if you don't blow up or whatever. It's fascinating time.
I agree.
Agreed, for sure.
Yeah.
Good, correct, good answer.
All right, moving on. Let's go. Jeez.
So we've done nothing.
But this is what happens when we're on our own episodes. I usually bring a tangent in, and we talk for like 30 minutes about something that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But it's good, because this is the kind of thing I like. I like talking and bringing in your own. Yeah, this is the stuff I like. So our listeners have to listen.
I'm sure my agent will watch this and go, oh, James.
No, we love it.
Yes, James, you did fantastic. Hello.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about everything.
Let's roll.
All right, so who, and this doesn't have to do with just Potter, just in general, who's your favorite person you've ever worked with?
Oh, God.
That's I know. You gotta like put someone on the spot.
We'll make sure. Yeah, we'll make sure they all listen so they know to be like, I heard you like working with this person better than me.
Okay, so let's go with some directors. Obviously, David Yates is incredible, and I shall tell you for why. Because he's so good with the actors. He's a real actor. I know people say he's an actor's director, but he gets it. He understands the process and the, you know, the insecurity of the actor. And what he wants to get across, and it's you know, sometimes, you know, directors will say, can you be a bit more fizzy in this scene? And you go, I've got no idea what that means. But David can, you know, David would be okay, you can be bigger in this. You can, you know, you really go for it, and I'll take you down if I need to. And his enthusiasm, you know, bear in mind he's got these massive movies on his shoulders, essentially.
Right. Yeah,
but he bounces around the place. He's always got time. He's always got a moment for you. He's always smiling and laughing and enthusiastic. And you know, atmospheres on sets come from the top. So you know, from Potter with David Heyman and Joe and David Yates, there's just a very, very positive atmosphere that everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to make a movie that's going to be watched and enjoyed and loved.
Right. You know,
for time after we kind of slipped off the old mortal coil. And who's to say, but we, you know, we just have such good fun doing it. So David's a great director. Nick Moran, who I've just worked with, who's in a couple of the Potters. He's not only a lovely man, but also a very, very good director. Again, wonderful with the actors. And then it's the enthusiasm that sort of blows the wind up my skirt in that regard. Because, you know, that leads enthusiasm elsewhere. In terms of actors, and I've got a lot of friends who are actors, some of whom I've worked with and some of whom I have yet to work with. But, God, Robert Downey Jr. is a pleasure to be around.
Oh, awesome.
He would.
Yeah. Just because he's so sharp minded.
Mm.
I'd have to make Iron Man jokes all the time.
Yeah, you could ask Rob to do the same scene 10 different ways, and just run as a series on camera, and he'd do it without even thinking about it. It's the fearlessness.
I love it.
Sometimes it won't work, but when it does work, That's where you get the gold. Christoph Waltz is the same. Yeah. Always something to lift the scene. I mean, you know, it's difficult. All the great actors from time immemorial, the ones that are still working today, always have something that sort of sets them apart, makes you want to watch. Mm-hmm. And there are things that you can do as an actor. There are sort of tricks, if you like, which I won't reveal because then I'll be out of a job.
Zip it.
But I think the thing is, the more you watch the, you know, and if you're specifically watching an actor, the more you learn from them. Mm. God, Sam Jackson's amazing to work with because he's just so good at it. Tom Holland, you know, for someone so young, has a maturity that belies his years. Jon Favreau knows exactly what he's doing, which is incredible to see. Yeah. It's just, I'm sort of turned on by people who not necessarily know what they're doing because, let's face it, none of us know what we're doing.
Does anybody, right?
Yeah, so true.
But you have an enthusiasm and you have a knowledge and a passion to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, someone like Chris Rankin or Josh Herdman, mm-hmm. or Olga Safer, or any of the kind of the Potter people, all have such an enthusiasm whatever with the stuff that they're doing now that you want to be their friend because they're such good company.
Right.
Such good company. Honestly, the things we talk about and the laughs we have, I mean, I can't begin to talk about it, but it's just a real pleasure to call those people my friend.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Given my talent, I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah.
Hugo Weaving, excellent, by the way.
Sounds like you're very blessed to have worked with and want, like, just in being inspired by a lot of great people.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I was sort of, my heroes were people like Noel Coward or Alec Guinness or Peter Sellers, David Niven, sort of old school actors, people who you can still watch their stuff today and it stands up.
Yeah. Anything that can stick over the years, that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, and I think I was talking to an actor last weekend about a sort of a responsibility that we have as actors is to know who's been before, what's come before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not limited to actors, that's limited to all of humanity.
Agreed, absolutely.
History is sort of circular, isn't it? You know, it goes around and it happens again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If we are aware of history, then perhaps we can change the future for the better.
Absolutely.
Yes, please. Amen. Let's do it.
No idea what I'm talking
about. We need to get better. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If we all strive to get better as people, I know it's hard sometimes. I know we all have our own issues. We all have our own thoughts and feelings about whatever it may be. But if we all strive to just try and be a little bit better, mm-hmm. and a little bit
absolutely. Less self,
maybe things might turn out all right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Agreed.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely theoretically. Yeah. They're probably wrong. I don't know, but at least I tried.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that's all anybody can do is try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, don't say that to Yoda because he's got a thought.
You do not. Correct. There is no try.
There is no try. Right.
Absolutely.
Sorry, that's the wrong brand. Sorry.
We had to get that in there.
It's crossover.
And honestly, it's not the first time we've talked about Star Wars on this pod.
Nope.
And it won't be the last.
I think everything with such a passionate fan base.
Right.
Marvel or Star Wars or Game of Thrones or whatever has a Star Trek and all that sort of stuff. You know, there's the people who sort of are in that fan base, whichever one it may be, or all of them, or none of them, or whatever, they all sort of have, they like recognizes like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Know why they have a passion for Potter. People know why they have a passion for Star Wars and for of Marvel stuff is because there's a there's a relatability. They know who they are. You know which Avenger you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know which character from Potter you are. You know which story means the most to you. And I think that's why Potter in particular, because that's what we're talking about, continues to be loved and will continue to be loved because
true.
Everybody knows what it means. I meet people who weren't even born when Order of the Phoenix came out.
Yeah.
But, it's just it never fails to surprise me how much love there is out there for these things. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to be part of. It really is.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I try to be simple, but yeah. Yeah, not so much.
That kind of leads into our next topic here. Before you got the role as Frank, were you into the Harry Potter series? Had you read them? Had you watched them?
Absolutely. Actually, oddly enough, a friend of mine said, "Have you heard about these Harry Potter books?" And I said, "What?" He says, "About a boy wizard who lives under the stairs."
What a way to describe it.
A boy what? Who lives under where now? A boy wizard who lives under the stairs. Now, when I was growing up, we had things like Just William and Jennings, which sort of deals with little boys who go to a sort of a private school, which Hogwarts is definitely a private school.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, he said they're kids' books, but they read really well. You know, it's the kind of the eternal truth, isn't it? The eternal stories.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, have a look at it. And I thought, this is actually quite good, isn't it? And Stephen Fry was doing the audiobooks. I met him on a movie years ago, and he says to me, when they first asked me to read these books, I said, I just thought they were just these kids' books that I would read.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very, but I had no idea that it would become such a thing. Obviously, as the years rolled by, very much became a thing.
Right.
So yeah, I was aware. I'd seen the movies. The first sort of couple of movies weren't really aimed at. I was my late 20s, early 30s. Well, I was 30 when I did Order of the Phoenix.
Mm.
And I'm 32 now.
I love the way you laugh at your own joke there.
Don't Google that. So I was very much aware, but I enjoyed them as because they were entertaining. They were entertaining. I was entertained by them. I wanted to see what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I was aware, and now I'm still aware.
Right. Still very much.
Yeah, I know it's like not slowing down at all, right?
No. I'm busier now with stuff than I was when it first came out.
That's pretty amazing. I love that. One of our listeners asked, her name is Josephine. She says, do you have another favorite book series?
Justine, my friend Justine. Yes, I do.
Do tell.
Oh, right. Sorry, there's more. A chap called John Buchan, who wrote The 39 Steps, that deals with a character called Richard Hannay. It was made in the 1930s by Hitchcock. Robert Donat played Richard Hannay. He wrote a series of books. I think he wrote four or five books with that character in it. I rather like those. The 39 Steps is... It's been made several times. It was obviously made in by Hitchcock, Robert Donat, in the 50s with an actor called Kenneth Moore, in the 70s as well, I think, a few years ago by the BBC. That wasn't great. I suppose in some respects, North by Northwest is sort of based on that sort of misidentity and just a really exciting sort of adventure. Romp. Should we say romp? It's a romp.
I rather like
that series of books.
Awesome.
Any other series of books that I like? Probably. but I can't think what they are right now.
Totally.
I'm quite old now. My sort of brain isn't what it was.
Just my brain doesn't work either, so.
As we go on with other questions, just randomly shout out series that you remember. It's all good.
Yeah. Anytime anybody asks me, they're like, well, what's your favorite book? And I'm like, well, the Harry Potter books. They're like, yeah, but outside of that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember reading before this.
It's a good question by our friend in terms of other series of books. But when people ask you what your favorite song is or your favorite movie or your favorite whatever, it depends, doesn't it? It depends on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
One day it might be Back to the Future, the next day.
Quality.
Yeah. You know, Rhodes. I'm all right. I haven't had a stroke. Fine. The next day it could be Jurassic Park or whatever movie.
You just named my favorite. It's held up from all time. Jurassic Park. I love it. It used to make me cry as a kid, and now I love it. So I don't know what that about me as a person.
Well, the thing is that the story holds up. Obviously, it's different. It's different from the book, but books are different from movies. It's a different art form. But that moment where he sort of takes the glasses off and stands up,
and he's shaking.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's amazing. The amount of people that on film sets that turn around and say, "The girl," or you know, if someone starts humming the theme tune, one person on a movie starts humming it.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, everybody's going. You ever get to a film set and you want to start something, just try humming something a few times.
Get in everybody's head.
I love it.
It's quite a fun game to play, just to see if you can get it
around. I'm gonna do it now. I'll tweet you. I'll let you know what happens with it. I go back on Wednesday, so I'll let you know.
That's so funny. Okay, so something I think is so cool. I mean, you're very cool in general, but particularly cool. You have this unique perspective where you've been a part of both eras of Potter. So you've been a part of Fantastic Beasts and Potter. So is there any way you could compare those experiences? Like, do the sets feel different? Is David Yates different for each project because he works on both?
Yeah. It feels very much the same, that it's a lot of the same people involved. Mm. The sets are, yes, I mean, it's obviously set in the 1920s at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, Stuart Craig, who's the designer, it's all in keeping. It all feels right. You know, if you walk onto a Stuart Craig set, you know, when we were in Makuza, the first movie, the first Fantastic Beasts, you open a drawer, and there's stuff in the drawer.
Awesome. That's amazing.
He wants to shoot that drawer. He can. That drawer is a practical drawer with things in it that are that have been designed. The atmosphere on the two Fantastic Beasts movies. You know, I live 25 minutes away from the studio.
Wow.
From Leeds. So it's sort of like, you know, they take us such a long time to make these movies, and you know, we're involved in some of the prep, you know, from rehearsals to location recces and figuring stuff out before we actually come to the shooting part of it. Of all of the things that I've been involved in, honestly, I have such fun. I get to run about in a pretend New York set with a wand, pretending to be Colin, having a wand with a friend of mine, while things are exploding and lights are going off, and you know, we're being filmed, so we can make sure we get it right before, you know, the actors come in, and they pay me.
I mean, it sounds magical, for lack of a better term.
Oh, good.
On brand. Making movies is very boring. Is the reality making films is hard, and it's long hours, and a lot of the time it looks like nothing's happening. So as the outsider looks, I go, nobody's doing anything, but things are being done.
Right.
And things take time. These take to get. They say the devil is in the detail. Yeah. It's sort of between film and television that a big budget TV show might spend, I don't know, 10, 20 million pounds an episode, an hour. Whereas one of the big budget movies is spending $100 million or $100 million an hour. There's a difference in the, so you can take that the greatest thing that the money gives you in terms of making the production budgets is that it gives you time. Gives you time to get it right. That's the incredible thing. Because now when you're watching it on a 40-foot screen, if it's wrong, everybody can see that it's wrong.
Yeah, that's very true.
Absolutely.
And in terms of David, in all the years that I've known David, David is the same. David is enthusiastic, excited to be there, excited to see what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
James, mate, okay, what would you do here? What are you going to try? Well, I might try this, David. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Okay, and there's just that enthusiasm to be there.
Yeah, that's good.
Rubs off on everybody.
Yeah. I was just about to say that it's infectious, and you can tell, like, just talking about David's enthusiasm gets you excited. I mean, you're excited talking about him to us in this interview, and I think that's fantastic to hear. Like, fantastic piece aside, haha, right? Fantastic. You're welcome.
Oh my gosh.
I love that, like, and even your excitement gets me excited. And I don't know, it's just a good chain reaction that you have going on.
I love working, with some of the actors that we've had that I've worked with for over a year. If you include put the two movies together back to back, take a long time. They take a long time to make. So, you sort of form relationships with people in the cast and the crew because it's exciting, and because I suppose that I'm trusted in terms of the production. They trust that I know my job.
Mm-hmm.
I will do my job to the best of my ability. And of course, a lot of the actors know that I'm part of the Wizarding world outside of it as well. So it's like a little club, really. Honestly, it's brilliant. You should really try it. See, honestly, I absolutely love it. It's amazing.
Well, let me in. I'd love to be in the club.
I mean, I'll make some calls.
I'll afterwards.
Yeah.
I think that not to pick favorites with the directors, but David has always been the ones that he touches have always been my favorites. And I think, I know that you like Prisoner of Azkaban a lot, but Order of the Phoenix was my all-time favorite Potter movie. And I think that it was because of
all
James.
Yeah,
that scene, it was just so powerful, it stuck with me. But what David brought to the Potter series, and now continues to bring with Fantastic Beasts, you can just tell that it's his project, because of how things are shot, how the story is told, and I just like his way of storytelling and his way of making the actors portray things and directing them is my all-time favorite. And I think that even seeing there's these ultimate editions of the movies out, and they have this amazing behind-the-scenes documentary that is started all the way from 2001 through the end of it, and seeing David work with the actors, he looks like somebody that I would want to work with. He just looks the coolest guy.
You're absolutely right. He's such a lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally. But I think it's quite important to say, particularly about David, that he is a lovely man and an incredible director and has a wealth of knowledge. But there is a core of steel within him, because you cannot get to where he is without having a core of steel.
Mm-hmm.
Because there, as with any kind of artistic endeavor, there are people that will knock you, and there will people that judge and criticize. That is the way of the world. But David trust in himself, mm-hmm. and trust in that he has on his movies. And to me, that's when you're with someone you trust in whatever capacity of life, it makes work very, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on movies where, you know, where there are atmospheres, but not on a David Yates movie.
That's well, awesome.
There's an atmosphere of it going, this is really fun.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Wonderful man.
So this is a little bit of a different direction now, kind of going back to specifically Potter information. What do you think what do you think or feel about Neville's character arc in general? How he starts as this, you know, this boy who has a wand that was not meant for him, as cool as it was that it was yours, it did hinder his ability, I think. So he starts off as this this boy that nobody thinks anything of, and then he basically, nothing would have happened if it wasn't for Neville and Deathly Hallows, honestly. Like, nothing, Voldemort would not have been gone without him, which I just think is so cool.
It would have been way more difficult had he not, you know?
Locked off. Yeah, I think, I mean, firstly, Matt is a great actor. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And a lovely chap, as it goes. Lovely man to spend any sort of time with. But I think the arc, it's sort of a, not to belittle it, but it's a classic arc. It's a classic tale.
Mm-hmm.
Of the boy who could have been, should have been, perhaps. You know, is a bit of a, you know, he's a bit of a loser, isn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah, sort of,
you know,
yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, he's a loser, but you can't help but like him because he tries. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of stuff for people who try. You know, none of us are good at everything.
Right.
You know, if you give something a good old bash at it and you fail, well, it's better to have tried, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think his arc, you know, you see the development of, well, not only as Matt as an actor, but also of Neville, of growing in confidence. And that's quite a hard thing to carry off, that kind of subtlety of sort of a switch in your head going, you know what, I can do this. And even if I failed, at least I will have tried. Because there are, you know, as they say, you know, as Theseus in Fantastic Beasts says, you know, it's time to pick a side. And Neville does. And then, you know, then he long bottomed.
I was going to ask if you'd heard of that phrase before.
I'm waiting for my own long bottoming. but yeah, still waiting for that to happen. don't pity me. I'm all right. So yeah, you know, if you ask actors and, you know, go, of course you want to play Harry Potter, of course you want to play Ned, of course you want to play one of the three.
Mm.
But actually, Neville's the really interesting one.
He really is. Yeah.
I mean, I say that because he's my boy.
I was just gonna say, such a proud dad.
From father to son, he's my boy. Love it.
Okay, so taking another turn, sort of. What's your favorite film that you've been a part of? And you don't have to say Potter. It's okay. But if it is, that's good. Yeah.
I mean, I will. I'm not sort of one of those actors who would deny that I was ever in Harry Potter, regardless of whatever happened to my career. It's something that I'm proud of, and it's something that I will always be proud of because of what it's given me, not particularly financially, but what it's given me in terms of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and part of something that means so much to people is why I wanted to do this in the first place.
Right.
Captain America is something I'm very proud of because I managed to play Hitler, which is bizarre.
Right.
But an amazing thing. It's amazing, you know, to be part of two sort of incredible universes is, again, given my limited skills, is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, that happened. That was fortune, really. You know, I'd worked with Joe Johnson on The Wolfman a couple of years prior to Captain America. Hi, Dad. right? You got it. Nice. When they came back to do Captain America, which they called Frostbite, was the super secret working title, which I think I'm all right to say now.
Oh.
This is where Marvel.
I know, they're at the door.
Yeah.
I auditioned for something else. Joe said to me, I want everybody who was involved in The Wolfman to come back if you can. I came back and they said, do you want to audition for something? And I said, yes. And they put me on tape and Joe saw it and said, yeah, James can do that. And they cut my hair and sort of shaved all this back so I just had a moustache and put me in a 1940s suit. And I went on set and everybody laughed at me and said, you look like a Nazi. Specifically, you look like Adolf Hitler.
Right.
And then they say, would you rather play Adolf Hitler? Which I said, oh, all right then. and that was a happy accident. I did a movie a few years ago, which I'm certainly proud of it. And I can watch myself in it and not hate it, which I think is a good sign for me. Actually directed by a chap called Oliver Guy Watkins, who directed this movie behind me. This is a documentary about regeneration and gentrification in London. So it's quite interesting and important because it's where I live. And he directed a movie called Always in the Present, which also features an actress called Sora Barbara Brown, who is in the second Fantastic Beasts movie. So it's all related. Anyway, that's a movie that I'm really proud of, because we made it on such a small amount of money. And I mean, I think it turns out pretty well. I mean, nobody saw it, but that's sort of not the point. The reality is that every project that I've been involved in, I'm sort of, I almost can't say anything bad about anything that I've worked on, because I've always learned something from it.
Right.
Be it a not positive experience, like that film that I won't say, or that film that I won't say, or to the positive ones, which are lovely. But I've just done a movie. Somebody fell for it again and employed me.
Yeah.
amazing. So Nick Moran, who is Scarbjorn, is that a Scarbjorn?
Scabby, Scabior. Mm-hmm.
Scabby. Yeah, I knew that. he is a chum of mine, and he was directing a movie called Creation Stories, which is about, it's based on Alan McGee's book. Alan McGee is the co-founder of Creation Records, who essentially discovered Oasis, which in the UK back in the 90s was a massive, massive thing. And there was a sort of a crossover between politics and this cool Britannia thing that they had at the time, and this politicians trying to make out they were cooler than they really were by being friends with celebrities, or changed. And it goes through Alan McGee's story, and Alan McGee is played by Ewan Bremner, of course, that you know from Trainspotting, because it's everybody's a friend of Nick, and you do it because you love Nick. And actually, the script is written by Irvin Welsh, who wrote Trainspotting. Irvin Welsh and Dean Kavanagh adapted the book. And it's an incredible script, and it's very funny. It's some of it will not be safe for work. and Nick asked me to be in that. I had to audition for it. He didn't just give it to me. But I auditioned for it, and the terribly famous person who they asked didn't do it, so I got it. So I'm playing a character who is another real person, weirdly. But this time that real person is still alive.
Pressure. Oh, that's really kind of weird.
Yeah. And that real person is Tony Blair.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool.
nerves.
Weird. So yeah, that's that. I mean, we finished shooting that. That'll be out whenever they finish doing what they do and they take it on Serbia. But yeah, there's something that I was really pleased to be involved with because it was such a wonderful script.
Awesome.
So that's good. And oddly enough, they're actually making a documentary about my rather curious life.
Right.
Yeah. It is called Who is James Payton?
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. And I don't know. So we're a mystery to me.
Are you interested to find out?
I don't know if it matters.
Oh, it does.
So we've been following me around the sort of Comic-Con circuit since since February, I think. So doing the Comic-Cons with Chris and Josh and Adrian Rawlins and, you know, all the good people involved. And also we were lucky enough to be able to shoot in the process of me becoming Tony Blair and a little bit on set. So they allowed us to do that.
That's awesome.
Because I was doing a Comic-Con with Nick in Watford a few months ago, and that's when he said, I reckon you could do Tony Blair, James. Mm-hmm. So we've sort of got that little thing. I guess maybe we'll find out if there is an answer to the question, who is James Payton? we hope that'll be out next year, so I'll be updated on various social medias that the kids have these days.
Right. Perfect.
But not TikTok, because that's just weird.
I don't really know what that is.
Me neither.
I heard about it, and somebody saying, maybe I should, you know, I post a video every night on Instagram and Twitter that I call All Right.
Right.
And, you know, that's just the thing that I do. And it's for me, and people seem to like it, so I do it every night. And it's just a way to get my creativity out every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing, apparently. And I thought, I do videos. Maybe I'll start posting on this TikTok thing. So I had a look at the TikTok thing, and it made me feel, it made me feel very old. And secondly, it made me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
TikTok is kind of weird.
Isn't it like Dub Smash?
Isn't
it like the old Dub Smash?
It's okay. Almost like
First of all, I've never even heard of Dub Smash, let alone TikTok.
Dub Smash is when you take like audio and it plays the audio and then you like basically try and look like you're saying what the audio is saying.
Hi.
Oh, okay. So it's a good mind.
Pretend?
Yeah. And then TikTok is basically, I don't really fully understand
that
it, but
weird
it's like
one that was going around.
It's pretty similar to that. It's just kind of, I don't know, you can add music to the background of whatever you're recording, and I don't get it either. When I downloaded it, I had it for like 2 days, and I was like, this is too much, and I deleted it.
I sort of know my place. I know that there are some things that are not meant for me.
Right?
Yeah.
TikTok, those things.
Like, I can do Instagram, I can do Facebook, that's about it.
Yeah.
I can do Twitter, I can do Instagram, and that's my lot.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn. But I don't understand it.
It's too professional for me.
I don't know.
I have no idea what LinkedIn is. I'm not really sure it's for me.
I'm on it, but I don't ever actually use it. You know?
Yeah, I know. Same. Yeah.
I mean, you got to be on it, right?
Apparently.
I don't know.
If I ever want a job in recruitment consulting.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll know where to find you.
I don't even know what that is. Would you like a job? Is that what a recruitment consultant does?
So what is your favorite thing about going to cons?
The people. They're so kind and so generous and bonkers and wonderful. Wow. and glorious, and it means so much to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of can't be cynical about it because it means so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're such wonderful people. There's such a sort of a community. There's such a friendliness about them all. And obviously, the other great thing is that I get to hang out with Chris or Josh, or Tolga or Georgina or Nick or any of the pods that sort of do a bit of the con work. That's great. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great fun. It really is great fun. I'm so lucky.
I really am. Love going to cons. I mean, it's just Katie and I have, there's one that goes on in Pittsburgh every year called Steel City Con. You should come to that one. It's pretty cool.
He's my age.
But we've had Matthew Lewis come before, Tom Felton, Bonnie Wright, the Phelps twins. And it is just like, yeah, I mean, it just, like, it means a lot to me as a fan that those people come over to this city that is in the middle of nowhere, and they just want to meet fans and get a picture with them and sign whatever they want. Like, we had Tom write, what did he say? Something about
filthy mudbloods.
You filthy mudbloods. Or, like, to Megan and Katie, you filthy mudbloods, and he signed it, and it was just like, you know, like, that means so much, and it's something so simple, but it just means a lot. And I love cons. They're great.
It's such a pleasure to be invited to things to like that. And you know, it's sort of a weird and wacky life in that regard. But it's you know, we were in me and Chris and Ness were in, and Josh and Adrian and all the other guys were in Edinburgh last weekend.
Oh, I love Edinburgh.
And the lady asked me and Chris to sign her.
Ooh, like sign her.
Sign just like on her shoulders. Get your mind out of the gutter.
That's natural.
Yeah,
it's fair. And she got it tattooed. She got our autograph tattooed.
Oh my gosh! You know what? I can see that on Twitter.
And the weird thing is, that's not the first time someone's had my name tattooed on them.
That's so
awesome.
Funny. Like,
and so to me, it's sort of a glorious folly. The lady says to me, you know, you get a photograph, you have a moment with someone, and you sign a photo, and you get a selfie, and all that sort of stuff. But you lose pictures. I want a memory of the event, your autograph on my skin. Is that? And you go, well, yeah, I mean, you're right. If you were a real fan, you'd get a Captain America Hitler back piece, though, wouldn't you?
Well, let me tell you, you were a very, very convincing looking Hitler.
Don't do that, kids. Absolutely
not. End well.
Really good to you. I'm not the boss of you. Do what you want. It's not hurting anybody. But yeah, don't get my character from Captain America on tattooed on you. So many reasons.
That kind of rolls into the next question I had. I know that you and Chris Rankin are pretty good buddies, and he's actually going to be recording with us. We told our listeners that. So they're pumped, and they're so pumped about you being on here today. What kind of, like, how much fun do you guys have? And is there anything you want to say to him that we can just tell him next time? It can be an inside joke. I don't have to understand. Just be like, hey, James said blah. What do you want to say?
What I want to say is, hang on a second. I'm just going to go charge my phone. It's on 22%. Stay there. Talk to yourself.
Okay.
For a minute. I'll be back. Don't worry, I'll be back.
Oh, no, he's just leaving us.
That's where I live. Coming back.
He's coming.
Behave yourselves over time.
Woo! I was worried.
We were worried you just left us forever.
Let me plug myself in. That's what she said. honestly, for goodness sake.
One of our listeners said that they still have the Jurassic Park theme song stuck in their head now.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes. My friend Chris.
Yes.
Yes. What would you like us to tell him for you? Make it good.
You can tell him and Ness, you can tell them that I love them. You can tell them I look forward to seeing them soon. And you can tell them that I still don't know who Jeffree Star is.
Perfect.
Okay. That'll make sense at some point.
Okay.
That'll make sense to them.
I typed it. We're good.
Chris and Ness is such good company. You know, they're sharp-minded people. They're fun. They're interesting. They're kind. And I'm really glad that I know them. Really glad that I know them.
I briefly met Chris once a few years ago.
And
he and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Just and the Ness. Nicest guy. Just the nicest people.
He's very nice.
He was at MuggleNet Live.
But he said he met you, Tiffany, and he said he didn't like you.
We're not surprised.
James, he's not the first person to say that.
Yeah. I know I googled you. I'm sure you're all delightful. Sounds like we didn't build anyone today. It's not over.
We still have so much time.
Yeah, it's only 4 o'clock here.
Oh, crumbs. Go on. Am I still charging? I don't know how these things work. Yeah, that's stupid. Good. Sorry. Carry on.
That's
question?
Okay.
Hello.
We're going to roll into the next one, I believe.
Yes, good.
I was going to, so because since we, my next question was, what are you currently working on? But we've actually talked about that already, I think.
I'm going to.
Do you have more that you want to add?
I should be in, when does this come out?
This is going to come out next weekend.
Oh, so this weekend, right now, when this comes out, even though it's previous weekend, at this point, I can watch this, maybe. If you watch it when it comes out. Okay, let's clarify. If you watch this when it comes out, then I am in Texas. I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, right. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I'm doing now, but not really now.
You're speaking from the future.
If you watch it at the right time, then that's... If you watch it after next weekend, I don't know.
Very true.
If you watch this after I die, I'm sort of still alive then, aren't I?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, they could potentially watch this after we're all dead.
Yeah.
Things on the internet last forever, if that's what they say.
Goodness.
It's like a digital horcrux.
Are you coming to Boston? Do you know by chance for LeakyCon?
Come on, James.
I don't know. No, as far as I know, I'm booked in for Dallas. Well, I know that. I'm leaving on Thursday.
You can hang out with us.
We're going to be there.
We'll be there.
Well, now I need to come.
Absolutely. We're fun people.
If I behave incredibly badly in Dallas.
It depends how your moderating goes, right?
That's true.
Then they might invite me back. They might invite me to Boston. If I behave well, then they definitely won't invite me. So I will certainly bring my own brand of off kilter to Dallas. But I know Chris is going to Dallas. And I know Dan Fogler is going as well.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah.
Can't get many better guests than those two.
Absolutely.
And Tom. They just announced Tom is going to Dallas.
Yeah. It'll be great. I'm very much looking forward to it. I've not been in America since 2002, so.
Oh, really?
I did a road trip across the states from LA to New York.
Wow. Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. Long.
That is long.
Yeah, it was 3 months. So I'm very much looking, just because I know that the current situation in both of our countries is questionable, shall we say?
Yeah.
But from my triumph time in the States, I found the on a human level, on a one-to-one basis, I found the most friendly bunch of people that I've ever had the pleasure of spending any time with, that people would invite you into their houses or buy you drinks or whatever. You know, this was way before Potter or any sort of minor celebrity that I ever achieved. People were just incredibly kind, not for anything they wanted in return, but they were just human. So on a ground level,
yeah,
I found people to be incredibly friendly. And I've got friends that I've known, American friends that I've known since we were children. You know, our parents were friends, and we've stayed friends all these years. And as I said, I'm 32 now, definitely 32 and not 43.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, I'm very much looking forward to going back to Dallas. Awesome. 38 degrees, apparently.
Oof, hot.
I don't know fully what that translates to, but I do know it translates to hot.
Hotter than the surface of the sun. I'm no scientist, but I believe that. Yeah. But you know,
it's like 100 degrees.
Yeah,
roughly.
Oh, exactly. Man.
Just hot.
Hot. Terrible. Yeah. Are you going to have some Texas barbecue while you're there?
People keep asking me that. if I can, I'm there for short days. Georgina's going out a couple of days before, so I've charged her with finding a nice restaurant for us on Thursday. I'm arriving at Thursday lunchtime, so I'm sort of going to try and get myself in Texas time before then, so I'm not jet lagged.
Yeah.
Because me, jet lagged is not something that anybody needs to see. Maybe it'll be the making of my career.
Maybe that's who James is.
Just a jet lagged middle aged white man.
Yeah. Could be. It's just an idea.
You might not be far off. She's I've told her that she needs to find a nice place for us for dinner on Thursday night, and that we're not that I want to speak for Georgina, but we're planning on misbehaving.
I like the way you put that.
Just because it's difficult not to.
Mm-hmm.
Really. And, you know, it's the same thing, you know, Chris is head boy, right?
Right.
Chris is the worst of us. Everyone knows he's very sensible. He's a very sensible young man. Head boy. Yeah, right. Okay, sure.
It's always the quiet ones.
Chris Rankin is plain, he writes. He's very naughty. He's as naughty as I am. He's as naughty as Wallace Simond is. He's as naughty as Josh. He's as naughty as all of us. We're very, very badly behaved people.
Oh, I love it. You definitely need to come to Boston then.
Well, yeah.
I was there in 2002. I'd be delighted to come back to Boston.
We'll write to them. We'll make it. We'll tell all of our listeners, hey, get him there.
Get a petition going.
Gotta hang out. So I'll tell you what, I'll buy you an adult beverage if we get to hang. It'll be on me.
Well, I'm done. I drink vodka with ice. That's it.
Consider it done.
Only in the morning.
No.
That's okay. We can get together. We'll have orange juice with a little splash of it, and you can just have the rest of the bottle.
Yes. Well, I would rather just not have the orange juice and just the vodka as well. So.
The vodka and the ice is my thing.
I think we have a plan now.
Yeah,
perfect.
We can share. We're good sharers. We can share.
He's like, I'm not.
Good at sharing. I am. I am good at sharing. I am. Remember. Sure, Megan. Sure. Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
So this is like not related to what we're talking about, but that's okay. We'll just roll with it.
This is what happens on our podcast. Right. We're talking about something, we go off on a tangent, we come back to it. It's all good.
So if you could pick any class at Hogwarts, which one would you want to take?
Ah, that's a good question, isn't it? I think maybe herbology sounds fascinating. I understand that. But Defense Against the Dark Arts, mm-hmm. the Snape teacher, he'd sneer at you.
That was good.
He'd do that. You know, his Alan's voice is, you know, incredible. I can't do it justice, but try.
Try.
But I can only do it from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. because it's Dahlia Twit. Little heart more. That's it.
I love it.
That was really
that
good.
Was good.
Stop. It's just having Alan as your teacher, having Snape as your teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he destroyed you. You'd get a great story out of it, wouldn't you?
True.
I don't know, I kind of would want Remus.
You'd certainly learn the Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Yeah.
You know, great. Yeah, that's what I'd go with.
All right. Good choice. I like that answer.
Thanks. Phew.
Yeah, you passed that one.
Okay. So the next question is about the Deathly Hallows. So which one do you think is the best one? Or like which one would you want to possess? So would you want the stone, the wand, or the invisibility cloak?
Good question. I can see no advantage for having an invisibility cloak. That's in your mind. That's all in your mind.
Let it there, sir. Oh,
it's not me, it's you. It's all in your heads. It's filth. You can't go wrong with a wand, can you? Well, I mean, you can, obviously, but. Yeah, that's in your head. don't listen, children. Don't listen. I think the wand. I think
it's a good choice. Just,
yeah,
you know, it's great for doing the ironing, isn't it?
Cleaning.
As much as like a sense of Zen peace when I iron my shirts. Not that I iron this one, but it's fine. yeah, I just think having a wand would be. Very epic.
Yeah.
You just sort of apparate anyway or disapparate.
Oh my god, yeah. I wish.
True.
Apparition would be the greatest thing in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you could just do this, so I'll disapparate from here. So if you just fix that in post, right?
Ready? Yeah, perfect.
My god. I'm my wand's right. Neville, that's my wand.
Can't trust those kids.
Sorry, yeah, that was my answer.
Oh, I love it.
I like it a lot.
So can you talk a little bit about what it is like to be? Okay, well, hold on. I have two parts to the question, I guess. First of all, are you also still a stand-in currently for Fantastic Beasts, like for the movie that's coming out next year or two years? Is it 2 years
it's
now?
It's sadly 2 years.
Oh, for Fantastic Beasts 3.
Yes.
And this is the title that hasn't been revealed yet, but I'm allowed to reveal it. Fantastic Beasts 3.
Oh.
Rise of... That's what it's called.
Oh, wait, what was it? Sorry, a glitch.
You glitched.
Fantastic Beasts 3, The Rise of James Patton.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, perfect. I love it.
I love it.
That's where Warner Brothers knock on the door.
That's how we're going to find out who James Patton is.
I certainly hope so. I love being involved in it. I'd be delighted if they asked me back.
Okay.
I certainly hope they do. But in this world, there are no guarantees of such things. If they ask me to work back on those movies as a stand-in, I also cast read on those movies. So. You know, we have multiple units filming at any one point, so a lot of the time we might not have Johnny. He'll be elsewhere doing some other stuff. So I'll fill in for him with the other actors, like on the when he's giving his speech, in the round with all of the witches and wizards and all of the Ezra and everybody.
Yeah.
So when the camera's on them, I'm doing jolliest thing for them, just because it's such, you know, there was like 14, 15, 16 pages of dialogue.
Wow.
So to have Johnny do that off camera when he's needed elsewhere, when I have said to do that, helps the production run smoother, so we're not tiring, you know, people who, you know, not tiring actors out, which is a thing, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Pages of dialogue over 6 weeks every day and see how you get on. But you know, I'm there to make sure I can do that for Johnny or for Dan or for Jude or for whichever member of the cast we don't have at that particular time.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's great because it's, you know, David trusts me to do that, which is, you know, incredibly kind.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
I'm really lucky. So I certainly hope they ask me back.
Well, I think it also says a lot about you as a person. You know, you say that you're lucky, but I think a lot of that's you, James.
It's false modesty, Tiffany, really. I'm just trying to make myself likable.
Aren't we all?
Me too. Yeah,
I'm really just an awful person. Have created this myth around me that I'm, you know, affable and punctual and have a minor skill set, but the reality, you know, ask people that really know me, like ask Chris, he'll tell you.
He's the worst.
He's awful human being. Kicks puppies and everything. It's terrible.
Oh, God.
Love puppies, by the way. It's that old thing, isn't it? The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Mm.
I've been around a long time, and you know, I'm not in. You know, I've been fortunate in the stuff that I've done. It's given me a certain sort of level, if you like. But I'm in no way where I'd like to be in my career. But that's okay. I've certainly got further than my heart of hearts ever thought that I would. And I, you know, I sort of just hope people keep letting me do this, because, you know, I'm not the worst actor in the world, but I'm neither am I the best, but the stuff that I can do, I can do, I think, pretty well.
Right.
So I, you know, if I stick around long enough, maybe all the other actors will die out and I'll get the job. You know, it's the reality is that I'm not really qualified for anything else. I don't want to do anything else. You know, I have to do other things to make sure that there's food on the table and you know, the rent's paid and the bills are paid and all that sort of thing. But you know, things have sort of worked out a little bit by accident rather than by design. But it just so happens I have a skill set that is valued by 3 or 4 people in the world. I just keep doing what I'm doing, and I hope that somebody will fall for it and give me a job.
Mm.
We'll see.
I'm sure they will.
Well, we hope so too, because we love seeing you.
Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you said your next Potter adventure is Dallas, correct?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Leaky Con. Yes.
Yeah, it's gonna. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
I've heard amazing things about Leaky Con. We have never gone before, so we're looking forward to Boston as well for that. So
yeah. I think we're doing games and all manner of things. And some things. So sometimes Comic Cons, I like to judge the cosplay competition.
Ooh.
Now, whether they want me to or not, I'm going to get myself up there, grab a microphone, and because you know how it is these days, everyone gets a trophy, right? Everyone gets a participation.
Yep.
And that's fine. Everyone makes an effort. Nah, I'm not having that.
Not today, kids.
I like to flip it a little bit, and what I've noticed is that people really, if you're rude to people, people really like it. I mean, not, you know, not obnoxiously so, but if you're sort of rude to people in a rather pleasant way, people giggle because obviously yeah. it's all done in good fun. And it's amazing what you can get away with. It's amazing how rude you can be without having to say anything at all. Because, you know, for the kids, it goes over their heads. But in 10 years, they'll go, oh, my God, that was disgusting. But the parents, you know, you see the adults, they know. You don't have to say anything. You just have to step forward and look at them. Mm-hmm. And they know the joke. They know the joke. You don't have to do it. It's amazing what they can get away with.
Yeah.
So I quite like doing that. And Wallace Hammond, who is one of the Aurors in the first Fantastic Beasts movie, he's a friend of mine, and we have an improv show called The Order of the Improv, where we do it at Comic-Cons. So we play improv games with people.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something else other than, you know, signing the pictures and that's
yeah.
It's just something, you know, because we have these skills, mm-hmm. and people really really seem to enjoy the fact that we all know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, and sort of enjoy the interaction between us. I thought, well, why don't we do a show where people can see that and people can get involved and we can bring people up on stage and make it interesting and make it a little bit dangerous, because I don't know what I'm going to say next. He's going to say next, and the audience is saying that. So that's sort of where, when you don't self-censor,
mm-hmm.
that's where you can get the gold. You obviously have to be careful in terms of what you can get. You have to play the room, really.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Now, the adult shows are a little bit more adult, and everybody are, you can just leave it hanging. But it's great. It's great fun. People seem to really respond to it. So we're doing that. We did one in Manchester last month, and we're doing one in Peterborough in next month. So hopefully you should be seeing a bit more of that.
That's awesome.
And just because it's such a fun thing to do. It's a, you mm-hmm. know, because there's audience participation and reaction. And so we sort of love getting up there. And eventually it's just sort of showing off, really. which is actually something that we do. I love sort of going up, because it's sort of unexpected.
Mm.
Because sometimes there's that thing of going, oh, you know, you can't possibly talk to them, they're the talent. You know, you're often referred to as the talent. But, you know, the reality is that we're just the same as everybody else. There's nothing
particular.
It just happened to have been in some movies. You know, all fame is, and you know, my level of fame, which is a very, very small level of fame, i.e. the people that know who I am, but the rest of the world doesn't care, which is fine. It just means that more people know who you are than you know. That's all it means. When you close the door at night, that's the end of it. You know, it's... I know some people are sort of falsely modest about that sort of thing, but, you know, the reality is that all of us actors, be they famous, a little bit famous, or not, never heard of, or whatever, all have the same thoughts, feelings, concerns, and worries as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to try and dispel the myth that we're in some way different or special or important because we happen to have done something. Because I think if you can dispel that myth, that maybe will give another small boy or another small girl living in the arse end of nowhere somewhere perhaps the inspiration, or perhaps the thought that maybe I could do that too.
Right.
Because anybody can, if you've got some semblance of talent, there's nothing that's necessary to stop you doing it.
Right.
I came from, you know, I have no theatrical background in my family. I just sort of thought I want to do that. So I moved to London and sort of jumped into it and sort of saw what I could try and get. But my journey to where I am now is my journey, and somebody else's will be different. But I think it's important to make people realise that actually, you know, if you need to do this, if you need to act, if you have that need, if you have that desire inside, there's nothing to stop you. The only thing that stops you is you.
Mm.
You know, it's about what we have control over. I have no control if I audition for something. I have no control over their decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I can't worry about that. I can't concern myself with their decision. because I can't control it. But I can concern myself with what I decide to do to in that audition, what I decide to do to prep. So I concern myself with things that I can change. I can't help with things that I have no control over. But for me, what was the question?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
No, I was.
I think it'd be awesome.
Leaky comes.
Yeah, just talk.
I liked it.
Yes.
So that actually ends our session here. But before we let you go, would you like to tell our what's that?
It's like group therapy, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
We enjoy it. We enjoy it.
Where can our listeners find you on the internet? What's your Twitter handle?
On the Twitter, I like calling it the Twitter because it makes me sound older than I am.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. You know what? If you can find something that amuses you every day, then that's not bad. So on the Twitter, I am Mr. James Payton.
Okay.
PAYTON. Every night you can watch my All Right story, which is between 10 and 15 minutes. 15 minutes, good Lord. 10 and 15 seconds of idiocy that involves me going, oh, good evening. And then some filler in the middle about whatever I decide on the day to do. Mm-hmm. And then it finishes with, right. Which is, people watch it, people say to me it's a bit of a, they quite like watching it because it's a comfort, because it's consistent. And my Instagram, which is All Right, is also on that story, is the James Payton, at the James Payton. So that's my egocentric Instagram.
The
James Payton, rather than one who apparently used to work with Jennifer Hudson.
Hmm. All that's, right.
So yeah, and LinkedIn is just not working.
You heard it here first, folks.
Facebook. I don't do it. So if somebody's there, not that they are. If they work with anything, it isn't. And MySpace is...
I don't think it existed anymore.
No. Yeah, that's it. Twitter and Instagram. That's what I do. Join me. It's really interesting and fascinating. And I post stuff about what I'm doing because ego and... sometimes political, sometimes I might have a little rant. Sometimes it might just not make any sense at all. Most of the time it might not make any sense at all. I tend to post pictures of people that I'm with. Some of my friends, some of my adventures. And we have to do announcement videos for every time we do it to Comic-Con. So I post my announcement videos on there as well, which I try to make a little bit different, because that's my brand. That's my branding.
I like it.
Well, I've been talking to my. She said my agent was talking about my personal brand. it made me sort of want to throw up in my own mouth. now I keep talking about whenever I'm interviewed or do anything. I keep talking about my own personal brand, because I know that she'll tell me off for it. Sorry, branding. Right. That's where you can find me on the internet, I think.
Awesome.
So I would recommend listening to Goblet of Wine podcast as well.
Oh, okay.
They're a British couple of ladies who do a Harry Potter podcast. So you guys, I'm sure they'll check you out and you can check them out. Hannah and Charlie and Hannah. They drink while they talk about
Chris was just on that, wasn't he?
Sometimes we do as well.
Yeah. We're all friends of everybody.
Wonderful.
As long as people know us. We're not friends with people who aren't kind.
Feel that. James, thank you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Did I run over time? I'm sure I did.
No,
you're fine.
You're perfect.
Actually, I do want to get... Can we give like a really cool thumbs up picture? Ready, everyone? Get it going.
Got it. Oh, your face is lovely. Megan, go ahead and do your thing, girlfriend.
Okay. So Swish and Flick Podcast can be found on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast. On Twitter and Instagram, we're at Swish Flick Cast.
We should be the Swish Flick Cast.
We should be. Right. We should have an ego.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's Mr. on Twitter. I'm just a...
Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We post our podcast there every week for people who don't have access otherwise. And also, we have vlogs on there, too. You can also join us on Patreon for exclusive access to the Felix Files, which is our bi-monthly bonus episodes, a chance to be on the guests on the Felix Files, and more. So you can find us there at patreon.com/swishflickcast. Lastly, make sure that you check out our website, swishflickcast.com, to get all of the info on us compiled into one place, along with our merch.
Perfect. That was very good, Megan. That was very good.
Wasn't it? She's very good at that. James, thank you again.
No, thank you for having me. It's very kind. Thank you.
Of course. Can you do one last thing for me? Now, I usually round out these episodes and end them, but when I point to you, can you say, "Don't let the muggles get you down"?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is big. Tiffany doesn't let people do this.
No, I wasn't expecting this.
I'll do anything.
All right. Get ready for my point. And you're going to say, "Don't let the muggles get you down." Ready? That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Don't let the muggles get you down.
It was more than I could have hoped for. One take.
Yes.
That was great.
Perfect. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Amazing! Just like my voice.
Ready. Ready, James?
Yes. What?
He's like, I've been here. I'm ready.
I don't know. Well, it depends. We'll find out when we start.
I'll tell you what. We're just going to make it super easy.
Great.
Don't freak out. Oh, no. Is there a spider?
I can't tell.
Where? Oh, this?
My goodness.
I don't think it is.
It's dead. It's okay.
Don't freak out.
I would... Oh, it's so bright in that room now.
Is that too bright now?
No, you're good. It's not dead. I need another tissue.
Oh my
god.
I need another one.
They're dealing with a spider.
We found a spider.
Oh god. Okay, it's gone.
That's happening. Sorry.
Okay.
We'll draw a happy punch there.
I'm
exhausted.
It's a lot of work.
You look lovely in the light.
Yeah.
True.
Thanks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.